It's the greatest thing in the world to be a Christian. It's the greatest thing in the world to be a Christ follower. I learned that when I was a teenager, when I was standing and going to church in West Tennessee, where my uncle, one of my uncles that was in ministry for many years, he's with Jesus now, and I remember as a teenager where he would say that every time when he got in front of an audience. And he would do that because a minister that he watched growing up would do the same thing. When I do that today, and Jackson, great job for the prayer, and thanks for praying for me. When I see Jackson McAdoo, my buddy, just about every week when I see him, he says, "Mr. Jeremy, it's the greatest thing in the world to be a Christian." Nothing better. But it doesn't stop there for us, right? We know that's just the beginning. We've got the command to disciple. And that's what we're here to talk about in our time together. Based on what Tim told me, I've got like 20 minutes left. So I don't have much time to get through it. So we're going to share that time together. My name's Jeremy Lancaster, and whether you're a member here or a guest or new members, I'm not our normal minister. As a matter of fact, we'll talk more about that as to how I arrived here in this moment. I'll talk about that in a few minutes, but don't worry, you're in good hands. The last time, and this is a true story, the last time I stood up and preached was in 1986. But the Holy Spirit talked to me last night and said, "You've got a lot of making up to do, Jeremy." So we're going to cover a lot in a short amount of time. So I'm happy to have the opportunity. And again, more about that in just a moment. We normally sit on this side, so I'm going to stand over here more so I can get to know you a little bit better. We usually sit on this side. My better half, Letty, and she is. When I talk about discipleship here in just a minute and share a few examples, she's much better at it than me in many ways. Devin, my youngest son, led the scripture that we're going to come back to. Cody, my oldest, which I'll make reference to him when I go back to the scripture in Matthew here in just a moment. So we've been attending here 26 years. Something that's important in our discussion, we've lived and traveled all over the world, and not for short periods of time. So our challenge that's ahead of us, Debbie, you can go ahead and go to the next slide when I share some numbers with you. World population, and again, feel free to go read on this yourself. Any census polls that you go look at, the population of the world, about 8.5 billion with a B. And there are 6 billion non-disciples of Christ. Christians in the world represent approximately 30%. And that's a good poll. That's a good number if you see that's on a high end. So that's our mission. That's our mission for us, not only as disciples, but to disciple. Does everybody understand the difference in what I'm going to unpack here with this, right? There's a big difference in being a disciple of Christ and to disciple. And we are commanded to disciple. So 6 billion, that's our mission. So we're going to come back to that. I'm going to come back to the scripture in Matthew here in just a moment. But let's talk about leadership and being a follower and a leader. So when I'm not doing this, and back to traveling around the world, I do a lot of leadership training. Focusing on what is leadership? What is leadership in organizations and schools? Any type of organizations that you work in? Mine has been for 30 plus years, this will probably be no surprise to you, has been in the petrochemical and refining industries. And we focus on leadership and take the very principles. We do a two-day workshop where we ask questions around, what is leadership? What does leadership mean to you? And when you boil it all down to the 2 days, and I'd also challenge you, go look at any books, any sports person, any political leader, anyone that you've ever studied in your lives, goes back to two principles. You lead in two ways, with your words and actions. Does it make sense? You lead with words, words and actions. So we do this all over the world. As a matter of fact, a week from tomorrow, and Letty's going with me, I will be in Manchester, England. I'll be in the United Kingdom doing a two-day workshop on leadership. So pray for me there. I have to get rid of my Tennessee, Texas accent, and I have to talk proper English for 2 days. So focusing on leadership. So think about this as we go, and I'm going to share, and I'm going to tie these back to our pathways. And please don't worry if you don't really understand anything about our pathways. John mentioned that this morning already. I'm going to make some connections to the examples of discipleship through the pathways, and I'll make reference to those. It's also very important, and you see the little yellow there from a personal reflection standpoint. Know that as I stand up here in front of each of you during this time today, I'm holding up the mirror to myself. And it does go with saying, doesn't go without saying. I'll even share some of those examples. So if that won't at least keep you awake for the next 15 minutes, I'm going to share some of my shortfalls where I sin and fall short of the glory of God. That woke everybody up. He's going to stand up here and talk about sinning around the pathways. Okay? You lead with two ways, through your words and actions. So let's go back to our scripture. I'm going to read that, what Devin had read with us. We've heard this before, but I've highlighted a few key things here. Go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching. So just pulling those specific words out of this command from Jesus, pretty close to Jesus' last words, at least recorded what we know before Jesus ascended into heaven. And you can go read more about these. They're covered in multiple books by multiple people, different examples. Those of us that are going through the chronological Bible, reading together, they're all lined up right there for us where we can read them one right after another. And again, this is a command. Go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching. So, and just to the left, your right, is our family chat. So how did we get here? Get here in this moment today. So when Mr. Mason and Rick sent me a text or one of those two and asked, "Hey Jeremy, would you be willing to come up here and speak?" And like goes through many of our minds when we're called. A lot of times, our first response is what? "No, not today. I've got something else going on." So I took the screenshot of that and sent that to our family chat, and you see the little white at the bottom there? That's what Cody, our oldest, sent back to me. He sent Matthew 28 back to me. That was his response, was, "No, Dad, you've got a command. It's not, they're not asking if you want to do it, if you want to consider, so please think about that as we go through the examples." What I thought was the reason for doing this was, now that we know that Kip spoke a few weeks ago and the elders wanted to get the bar set way down here as far as, and then he comes back in June, but that's not the case, even though that's what was going through my mind. So we're going to go through five examples, and let's go ahead and transition to the next one. We're going to do two with words and three with actions, okay? Words through prayer in the moment. They all join together in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brother. This is right after the ascension. This is Luke recording of what the disciples did in prayer right after Jesus gave the command. So let's talk about prayer for a minute and prayer in the moment. Now, I picked this one intentionally because this congregation is great in prayer. But what I want you to look at this a little bit differently is, do you pray in the moment? Do I pray in the moment? Meaning when you're out on your own with somebody else comes up to you and it's you and that person one-on-one and you say, "Hey, how's your day? How's your day today?" And they say, "Well, whatever, fill in the blank, and will you pray for me? There's been times where I've said, sure, I'll pray for you, and then I go back to my home and pray. But pray in the moment. Stop in that moment and pray out loud using your words to be a disciple and follow the command and pray out loud in the moment. And I understand the stories about Jesus and the Pharisees, and we know it's got to do with where our heart is with all of these that I'm going through. Pray in the moment, pray out loud with that person when they ask for it. Grocery store, ball field, that's an example. So that's one, pray in the moment. Next one, through words, still through your words. Proclaim the name of Jesus. Jesus did not create any confusion about who was in charge, did he? All authority is given to me where? Heaven and earth. How many times do I proclaim the name of Jesus? That's something you can go away today and throughout your week. You can count it. How many times do I use the word? How many times do I say, praise Jesus? Jesus is my Savior. We need to say it. We need to say it out loud. Just a minute, we're going to do a short video clip here. Those that are watching online, I'm going to give some background for all of us, because those online are only going to be able to hear the audio with this. Pretty cool example, and I'll give a little bit of context, and then I'll explain it back to the power of words and proclaiming the name of Jesus. World Baseball Classic. Venezuela was, they won the World Baseball Classic, for those of you that don't follow baseball. And this was just a few weeks ago, and I watch sports, and I happened to be watching this in the moment with Suarez, which I knew he's a Major League Baseball player that was playing for his country, and that's what most of the players do in the World Baseball Classic. And he's gone viral in a good way, I think, around proclaiming the name of Jesus. So we're going to play, and those in the audience can see and hear. Hopefully those that are streaming online will be able to hear his words. I'll let you decide how sincere he is or not, and then we'll talk about that afterwards. So Debbie, let's give it a shot and see if we can get it to play.
They beat USA, but what he did next shocked everyone.
Can you describe what this means for your country?
I mean, what can I say about this? It's amazing. God is good. All the glory is for Lord Jesus. He was with us the whole time. We have to glorify for his name in front of everything. And nobody believe in Venezuela, but now we win the championship. It's a celebration for all the Venezuelan country.
You'll go ahead double in the ninth inning. What were you thinking when you were standing on second base?
I just prayed at the time. Going to my family out there, they was happy for me. God is good, man. God is good.
You know, we had everything. But more important, we got faith. We believe in God. We pray every day. We give it glory to the one and only, you know, Jesus. And that means a lot for us.
It's pretty cool, isn't it? Pretty cool. Again, we're not here to judge. Many of you have seen other examples of that, and so have I. I listen attentively enough, and let me explain, and then we'll move on to number three, three of five. First two around your words, right? Pray in the moment and proclaim Jesus' name. I thought that was a cool example. I get chills every time, because he's sincere, right? There's been times where you may watch someone and, do they really mean it? You also will hear a lot about, I trust this will be received the right way. There's a lot that'll say, a lot of people that'll say, thank God, thank you, God. But remember, back to this 6 billion number, is there's 6 billion who do not believe that Jesus is the pathway to God. Several of those billion in that number believe in the same God that we do. And that would be a whole other discussion in itself. So think about that when you are proclaiming Jesus' name, and how many times in your week do you do that? Let's praise his name. He's the king. He's in charge in heaven and on earth. Okay, number three. This one's been talked about already this morning. And there are actually, we've got handouts at the back that are back here every week around getting connected and opportunities. We have to study the Word. I have to study. I've learned so much in the past several months of us going through the Bible together and our life groups. I want to put a plug in for our life groups to be able to study the Bible, our men's groups that we have. We have to study and to be able to teach. I highlighted in yellow, remember, back to the Jesus command to us is we got to teach. We got to be able to go and teach. So pray about this if you're not connected with a group to be able to study, and then we're expected to teach and be able to teach with grace. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory from Peter. If you haven't picked up on each of the scriptures that I've pulled to be able to connect, but they're also, I've chosen a different disciple of Jesus and disciple to others. So choosing Luke, Mark, Peter, as we go through here, that's done intentionally. So, okay, study to be able to teach, and let this be a reminder for you if you haven't connected with a group yet. Number four. Give freely. If you haven't read, now back to studying to teach, James, the brother of Jesus, you can probably get through the book of James in, what do you think, an hour, 30 minutes maybe of reading, less, as you self-reflect. Very practical advice for us as Christians. But James, the brother of Jesus, he gets to the core of the matter when you're reading the book of James. For the sun rises with the scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. The same way the rich will fade away while he goes about his business. We live in we're pretty blessed here in Kingwood. We're pretty, pretty fortunate. So, and I am talking about finances. Find ways, if you're able, to give. I think I've shared before of one of the ways that I try to do it, and when I don't keep cash with me, probably don't have cash with me now, is when we see the less fortunate standing on the street here in Kingwood, out on 59, those times in my mind where I'm like, could they get a job or could they do something else? No, I try to keep cash. My family can attest to this, and I'm carrying it on too. You pray about it, is give to the needy. Remember, with Jesus' kingdom and for us, he's flipped everything, right? He's flipped everything around where what we think of as wealth and things that are important on this earth, which will be when I go to the number five also. So find ways to be able to give. Give of yourself, but be able to give of your finances. Okay? Number five, action. Ways to serve. This verse here in Mark is where Jesus flipped the earthly thinking. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. Mark. So if you go to the other side of our connect groups with these cards, there's more than we have listed here, but these are ways that we can serve through different ministries. And I could name three or four off. Many of you are actively involved with those. My prayer for you, prayer for us today, is if you're not actively involved of ways to serve, because when you serve, how do you feel inside when you serve? You feel good. Because we're doing what Jesus has asked us to do, is to disciple to others. Not to be a disciple. We're already there. All of us are disciples. To disciple to others. Two ways with your words. Pray in the moment. Praise Jesus' name throughout the week. Study the Bible. Study with others, because we're expected to teach. I'm expected to teach. That's why I couldn't walk away and say that I'm not going to come up here and do this. Find ways to serve and find ways to give back, to be able to give back. And when you look at those together, as you self-reflect, pick one. Pick one of them. If you're doing all five of them already, guess what? You get to come up here and preach next week. Pick one. Pick one that you can go work on, where the Holy Spirit moves you as we're self-reflecting, where you're scooting around in that seat a little bit and saying, well, maybe I don't. Maybe I don't do that. You know, there's many others that you could choose also, but those are five. So now we're back to Matthew's words, recording what Jesus said. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching to obey everything I have commanded. Remember, this is a commandment. Those of us that are studying the chronological Bible have come to a greater appreciation of when we don't follow God's commands. Is everybody with me? If you're not there yet, go read the Old Testament. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And surely I will be with you always. So we got help, right? We got the Holy Spirit. Jesus has assured us that he's with us throughout this entire journey. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 plus years ago, during this 40-day period, and again, you can go read more on this, but it worked out pretty neat for me having this opportunity. Jesus had revealed himself several times, had to prove himself over and over again to doubters leading up to this point in about a 40-day period. We're, 3 weeks past Easter Sunday, so we're at 21, 22 days, where Jesus, once he had risen, where he was walking around and proclaiming he's in charge, and here's the commandments. And some, there's some in the population you go read that said, well, is this commandment for everyone? Is it just for the disciples who were there? I'm standing in front of you believing that it's for all of us. And that's why I gave five for us to think about. But because they were there, we're able to stand here today, and you're able to sit here. Just think as we reflect on that moment. And there were men and women there, it wasn't just the 11. If they would have said, I'm too tired, I got work tomorrow, I'm not going to make Bible study tonight. They didn't have baseball back then, but they might have said, we're going to a track meet, because they were doing the Olympics, and as we see the Olympics today, well, I need to go train my son or my daughter. Those are all excuses I've used, by the way. You think about your excuses when you've been commanded. Praise Jesus that they didn't do that, because we're here today because of what they did afterwards. So in closing, their testimony gives us confidence. They give us a pattern. I gave you very quickly six scriptures from six different men around their pattern and the experience that they showed from the command of Jesus. The tomb's empty. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He gave us authority. Remember, he said, I'm in charge. Not all the stuff we watch on TV and all the stuff that we fall for sometimes. There's only one that's in charge. We're part of his mission. Us saying we're disciples, we're part of his mission, whether we like it or not, once we've claimed Jesus as our Savior. And he's with us. So let's go, not as people who hope for the resurrection, but we have assurance. as we disciple and spread the gospel. Those are my five. Hopefully those resonate with you. If not, think about others that you maybe should be doing that you're not. So as we do with every Sunday, you've got an opportunity. We've already got some young men I know of for sure that have prepared to give their life to Jesus today. There's no better day than today. Feel comfortable by the movement of others coming up. If you want to come up and proclaim Jesus as your Savior, as a follower, and know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit will be there with you as you disciple to others, what we're all commanded to do, and we'll do it together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Scott, you can go ahead and come up here in just a second. Or if you've got other prayer needs, anything else at all that you feel that you need the prayers of this congregation, back to the first one. We are a praying congregation. We are a praying body of believers, and we'd be willing to do that with you today.